I wanted to go back to where my countryman Martin raised his question, but I had focused in on something else. So if you will indulge me just for one moment, because there was a question raised about the role of the Security Council, the structure of mandates. And I think that there's both good and bad there, because if I look across the evolution of the way the mandates have been dealt with, and Mr. Lowcock and many others in this room will be more familiar than me with the Security Council, but we do, even as UNHCR, have engagement with the Security Council. Our High Commissioner speaks there on a relatively regular basis at the request of Member States, and we are, of course, as UNHCR, often in complex conflict settings, we are part of the broader UN family that has, on which there is an expectation of implementation of mandates. So on the positive side, in my observation, and I say this through the lens of the global protection cluster role that UNHCR has, we see certainly more interest on the part of the Security Council to look at protection of civilians issues and to discuss the mandates. There have been ways in which they have invited input from humanitarian actors. That's good. And maybe some elements of the integrated missions, which oblige us as different components of the UN, which is only a small part of the broader humanitarian response, to work together in mutual support and respect for upholding all relevant bodies of law, including IHL. That's good. On the downside, however, we see this interest on the part of the Security Council. There is, of course, the substance, very substantive reports for which our colleagues in OCHA are the penholders and to which many of us contribute around the protection of civilians debate. And we see multiple reporting obligations across country-specific mandates. At the same time, for those of us who are operational and feed in, month out, information that goes into those reports, we also see a little bit perhaps of a stagnation or a lack of firm action on behalf of the Security Council. And I think, Jan, you have been witness to that in many situations. On the question of urbanization, there is, of course, and the question was framed in that way, around the use of weapons. But I think another important issue for us to look at in terms of urbanization or locations where there is a concentration of civilian population, something which has been a challenge to all of us over recent years in a number of different specific geographical settings, is the use of besiegement and just how damaging that has become. And for many of us who didn't necessarily have a good understanding of international humanitarian law, we certainly dusted off our law books and went to see maybe some of the answers are there, because that has been a particular challenge in many recent settings. And on the question of climate change, and I will stop there, from UNHCR's specific perspective, when we look at displacement around climate change as it impacts, as it can potentially be a driver of conflict, because here I'm thinking, and this is what we observe as UNHCR, scenarios which can ultimately end in refugee displacement with a very clearly documented international refugee protection needs. You look at the impact of climate change, as Mr. Lowcock has said, in a broader context of development issues, poverty issues. You look at what climate change does to degrade the economic situation, people's capacity to earn a decent living. And you see in many situations how quickly that turns to scarcity of resources, impetus for conflict. Often the ones who come off worst in that conflict are ethnic minority groups or others with particular protection needs. And then you have a continuum from climate change directly into conflict, directly into the production of refugees. Thank you.